God isn't some distant deity. Pastor Ray Bentley points out Jesus wants to have a close, caring relationship with us.
You have a shepherd who's going to protect you. He's going to lead you to green pastures. He's going to work every circumstance, be involved in every detail, and even use the negative things in a fallen world to disciple you and to grow you up and to prepare you for an eternity of sharing as a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The creator of the heavens and the earth keeps his eye on you and me. Not only that, he loves us so much, he allowed his only begotten son to die so that we wouldn't. Today, Pastor Ray takes us to Paul's counsel in Ephesians, where we examine a prayer by the apostle for all believers.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 14 through 21, and this is one of Paul's prayers. You want to learn how to pray? Let me encourage you, let's say you're in your devotions reading through the book of Ephesians, and you come across Paul's prayer in chapter 3, which is verse 14 through 21. Rather than just reading it, pray it. Personalize it. Pray it for yourself. And so that's what we're going to talk about is, and that's the title of the message, What to Pray For. Paul says in this prayer, and I've tried to simplify it because it's so rich, and I'm going to try to explain and unfold as much as I can to you in this prayer. But I've boiled it down to three things. Paul says pray for strength, pray for love, and pray to be filled with the fullness of God. Now, before we even get into this prayer of Paul, I think it's important to remind you, for those who maybe weren't here at the beginning of our study in Ephesians, where Paul is when he writes this letter and where this prayer came from. Paul is in prison. So this prayer is born out of circumstances that are rotten, horrible. And the reason I mention that and the reason I think that's important is that I believe there may be some of you who are saying, you know what, I'm in lousy circumstances myself. Take that to heart as you listen to what Paul prays for. He says, beginning in verse 14, the first thing that he says is to pray for inner strength. Verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Paul says a lot here, but basically what he is praying for, and he's not even praying for himself, he's praying for others. And he says, the first thing on my list for you is I pray for inner strength. Pray for inner strength. And I think it's in the prison prayers of Paul worth noting that for the most part, they deal with the spiritual condition of the inner man, not with the material needs of the body. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the needs of the body or to pray for our physical needs or to pray for material things. But it's more important to pray for what and who we are on the inside. Because when you are strengthened in the inner man, or on the inside spiritually, your inner woman, that you are now in a place where you can overcome your circumstances. That's why Paul and Silas, when he was, they were beaten up and they're in prison and they're down in this hole, and at midnight, they sang. How can you sing at midnight when you've been beat up like that? So Paul says, pray for inner strength. I think too often our prayers focus only on the physical or material needs and ignore the deeper inner needs of the heart. And we need inner strength because we do have an enemy. Satan is a powerful enemy. And I have found that I do not have the strength within myself alone to stand against him. I need God's strength and by his spirit in my inner man if I am to resist the enemy. So Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray strength for you according to his riches. I mean, I think it's a common human experience. We feel weak. We're on the defensive, and there are so many circumstances beyond our control. And so no wonder we're full of anxieties and fears and worries. And so we feel that weakness. We need strength. And we need it on the inside. The outer man, the Bible says, is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. And it is this inner strength that makes you successful. Not the outward, but the inward strength. 2 Corinthians 4:16, let's read this scripture out loud together. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I like that. It's amazing that we are being renewed day by day. Now, secondly, in verses 17 through 19, Paul says, pray for a lifestyle of love. Paul says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I like how verse 17, at least in my version, I have the New King James, it starts with the word that. So that. The reason that you need to be strengthened on the inside is for the goal. And the goal is that you would be rooted and grounded in love. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to be rooted and grounded in love. It's more than just agreeing intellectually to a certain, you know, these are our beliefs. It is a reality. It is a substance. It is an experience. And that is the love of God, that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. The word dwell there means to make a home. Jesus wants to be at home in your heart. It means, the word dwell means to settle down and feel at home. It's not just that when, you know, we say Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my knock and my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Okay, now I've accepted Christ into my life and I'm saved. But what does it mean to be saved? What it means is when Jesus comes in, he wants to make your life, your inner life, his home. Now, if Jesus makes his home in you, would you not agree that when you go to your home, what's in your home is yours, if it's your home? Jesus wants you and your heart and your inner world to be his home. That means he wants access to all of your dreams, all of your desires, all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, and on the negative side, access to all of your fears, all of your concerns, all of your worries. He wants that all to be at his disposal and his home, because he wants to heal you of all the negative things and comfort you and take away your fears, and he wants to bless you with even more on the inside, with all the blessings that he has for you, but he wants to make his home in you. Now, there is a classic illustration of this in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham. Abraham's life gives a perfect illustration. God was on his way to bless Abraham with a son. And so Genesis tells us that the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, along with two angels, came to Abraham's house, which happened to be a tent. And then he entered into Abraham's home. And what happened? Then Sarah comes out and she fixes a meal. And they share a meal together in the home, a very humble home, of Abraham. That is the picture of what Jesus desires. Eating together is more than just the enjoyment of food. the reason that eating together is so special, and in fact, you have the seven feasts of the Lord. They're called holy days, and they are feasts, and they all revolve around eating. Why? Because God knew that it's a picture. Everything has meaning. Everything is like a window through which we can see spiritual truth. When we eat, it feeds us, it nourishes us, and as your body is eating the food that it needs and delighting in its smells and its tastes and its texture and all the rest, it has a sense of relaxing us. We let our walls down, and it's a time of just tremendous community and love. That's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him." I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to meet your needs so that you realize you have someone who loves you, cares for you. You have a shepherd who's going to protect you. He's going to lead you to green pastures. He's going to work everything out, every circumstance, be involved in every detail, bless you, take you to heaven, and even use the negative things in a fallen world to disciple you and to grow you up and to prepare you for an eternity of sharing as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so when you hear all of that and you begin to experience it, you relax and you begin to listen. And now all of a sudden you pay more close attention to what the Lord says to you around the table. And his words go deep in your heart and you begin to grow in that truth. And it becomes an exchange of just blessing the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and him making promises to us. And so the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, that's what it means. It's like a meal, a spiritual meal, and where your mind and your thoughts and your heart become his home. Well, it's interesting, the story goes on. These three guests have other business. They had another task. They were on their way to investigate the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in their investigation to determine whether or not God's judgment was indeed to fall. However, the problem was that there was one of God's children for sure there. His name was Lot. And God wanted to warn Lot and, in fact, deliver Lot before any judgment came. And so it's interesting, as you read the story, that when they came to Lot's house, the angels came to Lot's house, but the Lord himself did not come to his house. Now, it makes no comment on that. I just think it's interesting that there can apparently be degrees of intimacy with the Lord, where some actually have him come and are welcome in their home, and others where the Lord is maybe not in that same degree of intimacy. Paul says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Like trees, our lives need to send down roots that are deep and wide in the soil of God's love. And like buildings, they need to be grounded on a solid foundation. And the foundation of Christian living is love. One of the reasons heaven's going to be heaven is that there is nothing unloving that will be there. Everything in heaven will be loving. The foundation that you and I have is the love of God, God's love, described and defined in his way. Now, in Galatians 5:22, it describes the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I love that. The fruit of the Spirit. And I put into your notes what Donald Gray Barnhouse said. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. There are no fruits of the Spirit without love. As you grow in love, here's what is possible, and I believe this with all of my heart. What Paul is saying is that as we grow older in this life, we're outwardly perishing. And there's a part of us, very naturally, that panics and tries to slow the process and be as healthy as we can, and that's all fine and good. But if we turn our hearts inwardly and say, Lord, I know that outwardly I'm perishing, but inwardly I'd like to be renewed day by day. Strengthen me on the inside. I want to grow in love. I want to be more loving tomorrow than I am today. I want to be more of a loving person when I am 60 than I am now. I want to be even more loving when I am 70. I want to be even more filled with your love when I'm 80. I want to even be more loving the very day that I go to be with you. And I know there have been some of the most beautiful men and women I've ever known who have walked with God for many, many years. And there's no such thing as a person that's not beautiful who has the light and the love of God reflected in their face. You see it in their eyes, you see it on their countenance. And you can be that man, you can be that woman that God intended for you to be. So the four dimensions of love. He says, so that with all the saints we can comprehend the width and the length and the depth and the height. A love wide enough to embrace the whole world. Love long enough to last forever. Love high enough to take us to heaven for eternity. And love deep enough to reach into the depths and reach the lowest sinner. You know what that really is spelling out? The cross. Again, Martin Luther King said, the cross is God's photograph. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe and trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of God is seen in the cross of Jesus Christ. How deeply and how passionately he loves us. And then he says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. How can we know this kind of love if it passes knowledge? You cannot know what is beyond knowledge. But you can experience it. And I'm sure that you have had feelings so deep at certain times in your life that you couldn't put words to them. Whatever knowledge that you have, there are no words. Those are the best emotions. There are no words. And that's what Paul is saying. He is saying when you know the love of God, it will bypass your ability to explain, to articulate, to even put into language. It surpasses knowledge. But just because it surpasses knowledge doesn't mean you can't experience it. And in fact, that is God's very desire. And then finally, the third thing he said to pray for is pray to be filled with the fullness of God. Would you say that out loud with me? Pray to be filled with the fullness of God, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, read with me Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Now we can understand that, okay, yes, Jesus was filled with all the fullness of God. In him, all the Godhead dwelt bodily. Okay, that's Jesus. But now, he's talking about you. And that's why Paul is about to run out of words. He's saying, here's my prayer, guys, is that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. God is love. You are going to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, it's going to take eternity for God to fill you. In one sense, he'll never completely fill us up because he's endless. But you can go out and get a cup full of the fullness of the ocean. And yet the ocean is still there. God is going to start filling you and filling me with all of the fullness of his presence, of his love, of his spirit. We will be like Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just the coolest thing in the world. Imagine everybody in here, let's say, boom, like that, we're all in heaven together. You have, first of all, you have brand new bodies. Whereas this body is weak, it can be tempted by certain things, your new body is made of heaven. It's not tempted by anything except to walk with God and to walk in love. And secondly, the devil, he is done. God has dealt with him, he's judged, he's not around anymore. There's nothing but love, pure love. Everything is perfect. There's no pollution. There's no, you know, armies. There's no sickness. There's no death. And you, here's the amazing thing. You will be sinless because you're going to be in heaven. You will have become like Christ. And we will still be growing with him and knowing him. But imagine all these people around you. If everybody here lived like Jesus, walked like Jesus, wouldn't this be an amazing place? If everybody loved each other so much that they were willing to lay down their lives to bless one another, and just heaven pours from your mouth, and the power of God flows through your fingertips, and the joy of the Lord is in your heart, the love of God is upon your face, I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. We will be filled with all the fullness of God. Is even that possible? Paul tells us in verse 20, "Now to him who is able," God is able, "to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God can do it. God is able. We have a tendency when we talk about limitations where, you know, we'll say that, that's easy. That's no problem. That's a piece of cake. And other things, we go, that's kind of tough. On the other hand, that's impossible. And that's the way we relate to things. We sometimes bring our limitations to God. "Dear God, I'm praying for my friend here. He has a headache. Please heal him of the headache." No problem. No big deal. You know, that's a piece of cake for you, Lord. Heal him of the headache. And by the way, if the headache doesn't go away, take a couple of aspirin. It's no problem. But then somebody has cancer, they have leukemia or something. Oh, man, tough. This is going to be tough. I don't know. And we bring our limitations to God. "Lord, I'm praying. I don't know what's going to happen." But with God, there's no degree of toughness or difficulty. God is all-powerful all the time. And God can do whatever he desires, and his desires are nothing but good. "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Pastor Ray Bentley, with encouraging insights today from our studies in Ephesians here on Maranatha Radio. And there's more to come from Paul's writings next time. Today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called "What to Pray For." And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.